I'm Amy, sex educator, sex and relationship coach, and co-owner of PurePleasureShop.com.
And I'm April, sex toy maven, VP of Hot Octopus, and I've dedicated my life to the business of sex. We're two people with a passion for educating and inspiring shame-free conversations about sex and relationships.
Welcome to the Shameless Sex Revolution. Want to learn more? Go to shamelesssex.com. And for 15% off of some of our favorite sex toys, use coupon code SHAMELESSSEX at purepleasureshop.com.
You are listening to a pleasure podcast. For more from our sex podcast collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.
Well, hello, everyone.
Hi, everybody.
Welcome back to the Shameless Sex Podcast.
This episode comes out on your birthday.
It's my birthday episode and it's my favorite topic, tight pussies and cocks.
It actually is quite, I think it's in the ethers or it's serendipity.
It's perfect. Well, and people are probably like, what's a tight cock? What are you referring to? Find out when you listen to the episode.
Happy birthday, my love.
And, oh, thank you. Thank you. So today when this comes out is my birthday. I am 38 going on 12. And this episode is really special to me because, one, Jenny Putt's awesome. Two, April's awesome. Three, I actually put my thumb in my pussy on air, but not for pleasure, to like do the whole remediation.
That was, we've never done that before.
I've never touched my genitals.
It was really cool.
Internally on air before.
You were like, what? It feels like a brain.
Yeah,
no,
brain.
It actually didn't feel brainy.
No.
Well, as brainy as smooth.
No. Mine had a little brainies.
It was brain?
A little bit of brainies.
There was brain?
There was brain. Well, you were on air, you were talking about someone's anal canal feeling brainy. And I was like, huh, interesting. I always thought of like my vaginal canal feeling brainy, meaning like it has these texture things, almost like a ribbed condom, but like way better because it's a pussy.
If you don't know, keep listening.
Yeah, keep listening to learn about my brain. So anyways, stay tuned. And I believe this is the last time we're doing this, at least for now. So if you've been listening regularly, you've heard us share a trailer, an appetizer at the end, which is via other podcasts in our network, the Pleasure Podcast Network, which is wonderful. We love Pleasure Podcasts. And this one is with erotic short stories. And you can listen to erotic short stories and maybe get a little turned on. So stay tuned to the end. Don't tune out because you'll want to hear some erotic short stories.
Taste of the madness.
I like the way you say it. Are you ready for a sex question?
Please give it to me, Amy. Hard.
I'm going to give it to
you. Oh, sorry. I was just getting an erotic short story.
Hard and soft at the same time. I'm a straight penis owner and I have a question regarding the use of sex toys with a partner that has genital herpes. Is it safe to use toys with a partner that has genital herpes? And if I eventually use that toy again afterwards with a new partner after it has been properly cleaned, is that okay or will the virus contaminate the toy entirely?
That's a great, I think that's a multiple layered question.
Yeah.
Because number one, you can always clean your products if you use body safe products.
Meaning they're non-porous. So that's like medical grade silicone, hard ABS plastic, stainless steel, things like that. Because when they're non-porous, they're sanitizable. But if they're porous, then they hold in bacteria even if you try to clean it.
Because like think of open pores.
Yes, they exactly. Or a sponge. Like those other sex toys would be like a sponge. And then the toys, I mean, we know this. It's very easy to clean things that, or like cookware often is made of silicone or various things that are not porous. So, or metal. And
I didn't understand medical grade silicone until I was using cookware that was silicone, and you can get it hot and you can put it in the dishwasher when it doesn't have a motor in it. You can clean it easily and you can use it again and again, and it will never grow bacteria, and it can be put in your butt if you want to, if it has
flange.
Exactly.
Yes. like a pacifier, a base that makes it anal safe. So when it comes to using the toys that are made of these materials, meaning non-porous, so again, the silicone, hard ABS plastic, and then stainless steel, and there's other ones. If you put it on your body and you have genital herpes and say you had an outbreak and you're putting your fluids on there and then you fully clean it, meaning you sanitize it with soap and water, you can put some of them in the dishwasher as long as it doesn't have a motor, it should not absorb anything on there that would be able to be passed on to another person. But if you use the other toys, then it totally could. That's definitely possible. I don't know how long the herpes virus can live on, you know, outside the body on a material. I have no idea. It might only be a matter of hours. It might be a matter of minutes. It might be a matter of days. I don't have the answer to that, but it's worth investing in toys that are non-porous and very body safe.
I have something to ask you, slash, if you don't know the world, but I don't know, number one, how comfortable it is to use sex toys when your bits are inflamed with a genital herpes outbreak, because it can be really uncomfortable. And I don't know, for folks, it can always be anywhere on the body, and the shedding of the virus is at different times. There's so many different layers to what can happen with your body. However, if you do use a sex toy with them, I believe you have to be careful if someone is into using sex toys, if they're having an outbreak and they've communicated that with you.
You mean like more for pain and not feeling good? Or?
Well, yes, if it might not feel good, but if they're into it still, if they know they're having an outbreak and they know they are in the period where they could actually transmit the infection, yeah. Right? If they're still into it and you use a sex toy, I don't know, and I don't know if you know, how long it could actually live, even after you washed it, or because it's a skin-to-skin contact thing.
So if you put it on a silicone toy, so if I have an outbreak and I use a silicone toy and I thoroughly wash it, then it's sanitized. That's
Do you know
it.
What if it gets on? Okay, so what if fluids, because it can be transferred skin to skin, or, and I don't know if herpes can be transferred by fluids, but if you're with someone and using a toy, if your skin comes in contact with their skin that has the virus. Uh-huh. Do you think that it could be transferred? Do we know that?
Just skin on skin?
Right.
So if I touch my skin to your area that has an outbreak, then yes, I could get it, but it likes mucous membranes and moist areas. So that's why you generally find it in a mouth or closer to the mouth or the face. Although I've heard people getting around their eyes, their nose, or genitals. So like, you very rarely would meet someone, if ever, has herpes on their hand.
Because I was diagnosed with this at 17, to not share towels with people because it was held in towels.
But that's a porous material.
Okay.
And then if your towel is wet and you rub your genitals on it and then they rub that exact same spot on their genitals, I don't know. Again, I don't know how long. Is it 20 minutes later? Is it the next day? I don't know the answer to that. And that's probably online. You could probably look it up, but I bet it's not a perfect science. Yeah, that makes sense. It's a porous material. But we're talking about non-porous material that is sanitized. That's different. Or if I use a non-porous material like a silicone toy on me and I have herpes and then I use it on you, but I don't clean it, we have another problem.
Right.
So that's just ways to be more careful about it. Honestly, for me, I don't have genital herpes, but I have cold sores on my lips, and not currently, and I have that under control. But when I have that, I don't feel sexy. I'm not wanting to have sex, and I'm really careful because I don't want to pass that on.
Thank you. I love that your sex education has helped me throughout my sex life. Sometimes I hear your voice when I'm banging it out.
Would like, you're doing a good job.
Really say good things about this. Okay, you ready for a bio?
Yes, I would like a bio.
Jenny Putt is a pelvic floor physical therapist and sex educator, among many other letters that go after her name. She believes talking about sex, poop, pee, and genitals shouldn't be deemed awkward or inappropriate. And the world would be a better place if people were more connected to their pelvic floor and had access to more pleasure. To learn more, visit JennyPuttPT.com.
All right, everyone, it is interview time, and we are here with repeat guest Jenny Putt. She's a pelvic floor specialist. Can I call you that?
Sure.
All right.
I'll take it.
All right. Nice. Pelvic floor specialist. I've known Jenny since high school, so we go way back, and we are here to talk about tight pussies, also some tight cocks, tight assholes, tight pelvic floors, and we're going to do a little bit of myth busting to, you know, just enlighten you, because we have some thoughts and ideas about that, and it's not just ours. There's plenty of other sex educators. I've talked to plenty of penis owners and vulva owners who would agree with what we are about to dive into.
Also, we had a bunch of interesting comments / feedback / questions from the last time we recorded together, and we want to bring some of those fun. They're not facts.
Yeah.
They're fun fun tracks of information and comments up to it. They're actually quite entertaining /
yeah.
I like saying / today. Slash.
I like /
slash. Slash.
And we're going to talk.
/ that type pussy.
You just made me think of, speaking of pussies, axe wound. One of the terms.
That's why I said it. Like slash.
Yeah,
slash.
Like, or a slash. Just a slash.
Or a slash.
Or a gash. It was a gash.
Is another slash? Name for vulva or vagina?
Snatch.
It's a not very nice way to describe all the ways we describe pussies. Yeah,
that's
yeah. Snatch all the things. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, but the axe wound one cracks me up. I'm like, oh god, I hope no one ever says that about my pussy. And again, everyone, if you have a cock, we have information for you too. So even though you've been on our show before, Jenny, can you please share with our listeners how you got to where you are today in the field of sexuality?
Yeah. So I started off as just your typical, you know, physical therapist, treating all the external body parts, all the joints, and ultimately felt like there was a missing link, which happened to be the pelvic floor. It's like a series of muscles that no one talks about and no one addresses. And it happens to be the bottom of our core, which everyone knows about core. It's like really important.
Core work.
Yeah. Well, the pelvic floor is the bottom of it, and yet we don't talk about it. Which then, once I became a pelvic floor physical therapist, then you kind of go down a big rabbit hole of like, oh my gosh, like no one really knows about their pelvic floor. No one really has like valid information regarding sex and their pleasure parts as well. And so that got me really into sex education in addition to being a pelvic floor physical therapist. And here we are.
Just to be clear, pelvic floors aren't only owned by vulva owners.
Everybody has one.
And we've talked about them before, and they are really important because everyone has a core. Everyone has, you know, a back where you have an asshole.
Yeah, everyone has
everyone's an asshole.
You can be an asshole, you can have one. And so that's why it's not just for vulva owners that we're speaking to.
Yes.
But we, as you birth children, you do use your pelvic floor pretty regularly to do that, right?
It's a pretty important part of
childbirth.
So I do treat a lot of people that are kind of growing babies and birthing babies and recovering from that process. And I happen to have
a pretty big one.
A bun right in the oven.
In my uterus currently.
Yeah.
So I'm in the process myself.
Mm. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
This is your first?
No, this is my second. It took me 5 years to commit to it again. I still question it every day, but at this point, there's no turning back.
How's your pelvic floor?
It's doing phenomenal.
Oh.
I'm just dealing with gestational diabetes right now.
Oh,
all the things, man. All the things. Yeah. It's not, I mean, I'm not one of those people that likes this process.
Yeah.
It's a means to an
end. You don't like being pregnant. You just like being...
I don't like being pregnant, and I also don't really like babies.
Oh, right. Like, maybe your baby will come
out like, why is she doing this then? But like 4, 5 and beyond, you know, once they get to the point where they can actually do fun things and be sarcastic with you, that's my jam.
And tell you what they want. They're hungry or thirsty instead of just crying. You're like, what do you need?
Yeah. And when you ask them to do something, they can respond, that's your problem, mom. That's my favorite.
Kind of, you like that. I like that.
Yeah.
I
think it's hilarious.
That's awesome.
It's hard not
You're
to
like,
laugh.
Touche. All yeah. right.
So I look at the baby and pregnancy period is very short, even though it feels very long.
Some people do love infants, man.
Some people love giving birth, being stuck with a baby on you all the time. That's just not me. But yeah. I admire people who they do like that.
Yeah. Good
and
for you,
they
everyone.
Can borrow my
and
baby.
Thank you for admitting that. I admire people that actually admit those things instead of like, it's all perfect. So babies don't understand the pelvic floor, but we're about to crack that
open.
We are.
We are for all people.
All people mm-hmm. of all ages. Yeah. So I guess maybe we should start with just understanding more about this whole tight pussy thing.
Yes.
In April, we were talking about like myth busting here. So like, what is this whole tight pussy thought process that everyone's really gung-ho about?
Right. And we can even apply, I mean, we are kind of calling it tight cocks just because it is more fun to say that, even though not exactly anatomically correct. But when we're talking about tight pussy, tight cocks, we're essentially referring to a tight pelvic floor, which mm-hmm. is the muscles that sit in the bottom of the pelvis and that they are tight. And everyone, I can pretty much say that with authority, that everyone has a tight pelvic floor and that it is not healthy to have a tight pelvic floor. And with regards to health, I mean, it doesn't bode well for optimal function, which is like has everything to do with pooping and peeing and core stability, but also for pleasure, whether that be penetrative or not penetrative, just all pleasure. And so, you know, I think with the comments that we got last time, it became very obvious very quickly that the messaging out there is kind of that a tight pussy is a better thing for at least penis owners. And so we want to talk further about that today.
I want to quote something that you wrote when we were brainstorming. You wrote this, and I like this. So talk more about a healthy pelvic floor feels like a marshmallow. Mm. Because that sounds so soft and cuddly.
And
like,
and it is.
You want to make a s'more.
Like, it's supple and it's lubricated and well blood flowed. And that is like the optimal pelvic floor for optimal pleasure and function. And so essentially, so when we're talking pelvic floor and when we're doing internal work with it, so that's either internal vaginal or internal butthole. Anus, I think, is probably the more.
I like butthole.
I like saying butthole. But basically, when you're feeling the tissue, you're aiming for it to feel like a marshmallow. And anything harder than that is tightness. So if you imagine just like if you're massaging someone's neck, right? That as you're massaging someone's neck, like, you know what tightness is. There's resistance to the tissue. So it's the same idea, same principles, but internal. Mm-hmm. And healthy tissue of the pelvic floor feels like a marshmallow. Mm-hmm. I'd say the one exception is as you go into the butthole, there will be resistance of the sphincter.
It's very strong muscle.
It's a very strong muscle, and it is very like reactive, subconsciously reactive, right? So it's going to like squeeze initially until you, you know, tell it what's up. But so that's like the one exceptions. We expect to have some of that resistance as we go internal anal. But once you go beyond the sphincter anally, then marshmallow central is what we're.
It's like the rectum.
And there, is yeah. what we're. It's on the other side. So when we're in the vagina, we're like pushing through the vaginal wall to the muscles on the other side. Uh-huh. And then same thing when we're in the butthole is we're pushing through the rectum to muscles on the other side. But the rectum and the vagina are like smooth muscles. So they're the same as intestines or a stomach, so they don't have any feed, like you don't feel, they don't give you any feedback. So what you're feeling is the muscles on the other side. Mm-hmm. And those tissues of the rectum and the vagina are meant to stretch to accommodate poop and things put into vaginas and pussies and babies and coming babies, out of it.
Yeah. Which we talked about fisting, and it's, you can get, even if you vaginal fisting, we've talked about quite a bit.
Yeah.
We're like, vaginal, like anal fisting, deep anal fisting. So those are muscles, so they can contract, they'll go back to their,
well, it's
their
like
state.
The vaginal wall and the rectum can accommodate a fist or bigger because it's smooth muscle. It's meant to really be pliable and stretch. And so if it, you know, babies, like really big babies coming through, yeah, okay, maybe the vaginal wall won't come back 100% to where it used to be, but that's okay. Mm-hmm. It's not the end of the universe. What has to happen though is the pelvic floor on the other side has to be in a relaxed state to allow for the filling and the expansion of the vaginal wall and the rectum. Mm. And so the pelvic floor being too tight kind of encroaches on that and makes it so that it's actually harder to put things up there.
So you're talking about, and we talked about this before a little bit too, but for our listeners, and maybe I don't fully understand it, but so the, there's vaginal canal, cock, you know, an anal canal, but you're talking about the muscles all around it. It's not what we actually like see or really think of being in tune with.
Yeah. Yeah. People don't look at it as a series of muscles, right? We just think like, okay, there's the vagina and there's this tunnel and the top is a cervix and a uterus. Or in the butthole, we're like, okay, there's these tight sphincters and then there's this rectum. But surrounding all of that is like three layers of a whole bunch of muscles.
Like your hip flexors, are those in there?
They blend with it. So they are like connected. There's some deep hip rotators in there, some muscles off to the side of the tailbone, lots of like sling muscles that go front to back. And it basically, if you were to imagine just like the bowl of the pelvis, it like covers the whole bowl of the pelvis.
It's like a trampoline.
A little bit, yeah.
Ooh, I like that.
That the rectum and the vaginal canal kind of sit in.
Okay.
The bowl. Uh-huh.
Now, if someone's listening, they're like, I want to jump on that trampoline.
So that is that why when you're, so if you're having, let's say, PIV sex, so penis and vagina sex, mm-hmm. for me as a vulva owner, and you tilt your hips in different ways, it can be more comfortable? Or is that just, does that have to deal with more of the vagina and its response to the cock that's going in or the
like
dildo?
The angle or like
yeah, the angle, because sometimes you can kind of move around and it's like, oh, that's interesting. Or does that have nothing to do with the bowl?
That kind of depends. Usually, it depends on whether we're talking about like initial penetration or like superficial penetration or deep penetration. Mm. So if we're talking deep penetration, that more has to do with you are moving your cervix, so the opening or the kind of tip of your uterus out of the way.
Mm. So it's not jamming.
So it's not jamming into your cervix, because cervix jams are like...
Sounds like a,
like a traffic jam on the 405 freeway. You're like, damn it.
They're a bit different than even like pushing into tight muscle. They're like ones that you're going to like almost jump away
from. There's a lot of nerve endings there, right?
I mean, what is the point of ramming into a cervix? There is none. So
my cervix is not like that. Not
and
one
so
bit.
The cervix is like, I'm going to give you feedback that this is, there's no point to this. And so it's one where you're going to tilt, you're going to move, you're going to kind of not go into that typically. Yeah. Versus like pelvic floor tightness, it's like more vague, more diffuse, less of that like jump away kind of pain, where people tend to tolerate it.
Tolerating.
Even though it doesn't have to be that way.
Yeah. So you can get a cock in if you have pelvic floor tightness, or if you have a tight pelvic floor and you're a cock owner, you can utilize your cock, you can get erections, and you can have a penis inside your overly tight or overreactive.
Some people.
Or it might just hurt. So
some people can't. So some people have like vaginismus or vulvodynia where it's actually like they can't put anything in.
Okay.
Or like you know, a lot of the times it's diagnosed kind of surrounding menstruation. So someone will go to try to put a tampon in and they just can't get it in.
Okay.
And those people, it's so tight that it almost doesn't function as a whole.
Mm. But there might be middle of the range. Like the
that's the thing. Yes. And this is where it's just like, okay, this is true, I think, for everything in the universe, right? We always swing the pendulum from one extreme to the other extreme, always. And so last time we talked about, you know, all the benefits of having a more relaxed pelvic floor, because everyone is on the tight side and there's benefit to be more toward a relaxed state. Then all of the comments have a lot to do with these like gaping tunnel hole caves that
the
like
hot
have
dog in the hallway.
That have yeah. no yeah, the hot dog in the hallway.
There was a two comments with the hot dog in the hallway.
It's
like
a very
I know,
common
are they
thing,
friends thing. Or is that like I don't know, it's I guess a common way of describing as gaping holes.
Or maybe a smaller penis in a not
or
so
maybe
small
a small
vagina.
Exactly. Mm. We're not sure. There's a lot of factors that are playing into this. But ultimately, you know, that's where all the comments go is like, okay, well, I don't want this like gaping hole that doesn't even touch my penis. And it's like, okay, well, what about the center? What about the middle point? In physical therapy, we call it like the neutral zone, right? It's like the middle point instead of the two extremes. And that's what the marshmallow is where there is, you will feel the pelvic floor on both sides. You'll feel the vaginal wall. It's supple, it's lubricated, it's well blood flow. And the person has access to Kegels to be able to tighten around penises.
Penises. Dildos, penises. Fingers, fists.
I kind of like penis, even though I'm pretty sure it should be penis.
Can we call it penne? Like a pasta.
Penne.
Yes. But that is going to be most pleasurable, not only for the receiver of penetration, but also for the penetrator. Mm. That's a weird word to use, but
sounds very superhero-y.
Exactly.
I'm the penetrator.
Or maybe I'm confusing a perpetrator.
Oops. Yeah.
That was amazing. But that we're looking for that middle ground, which is like if you're feeling internally, it feels like a marshmallow. Mm. That's what we are looking for.
So much of your work is about sort of like the whole tight pussy thing. And then you're very focused on more like, it's not about a tight pussy or having a tight cock or tight asshole. It's about having something that's strong, healthy, balanced.
Yeah.
And that in itself can get tight, but its overall state of existing every day all the time is not complete
tightness. In that like neutral zone. Because every muscle in the neutral zone has the best access to like a contraction and a lengthen. It's just like it's happiest place where it's going to function not only strength wise so that you're not like peeing yourself. You can have an erection, you can ejaculate, you can orgasm, but also just like optimizes pleasure as well in that middle zone. Mm-hmm. So because most people are on the tight side of that scale, most of my job is to bring them down to that neutral state. So we're talking a lot more about pelvic floor relaxation and doing internal massage and all of that, because most people are sitting in the extreme mm-hmm. tight zone. If I had someone who had, quote unquote, you know, a tunnel throwing hot dogs down, then we would be focusing on tightening the pelvic floor to get them to the neutral zone. But like, not a lot of people exist there. I've literally never met one.
Oh, interesting.
If you're like maybe like a bunch of kids like that.
If you're like 90 years old.
Okay.
And you had a bunch of kids and maybe as you had kids.
You never did one Kegel in your life.
Or didn't have to stop having sex because sex can be
bodes well for pelvic floor health. Or like sometimes the muscles will actually be torn off the bones.
Ooh.
Yeah. that's not good. Okay. It can get bad. And in that case, you don't even have any muscles to work with. And like, that would be a cave.
Yeah.
That would be a, or what about, that would be an empty hallway.
Is it prolapse?
Well, that, so yeah, when we think about that, we think about prolapse and people in their 80s or 90s whose like uteruses are falling out. Mm. But ultimately, prolapse is a symptom of pelvic floor weakness, which could be a tight pelvic floor that's weak or a.
That's cave an interesting that's point. So a lot of people think tight means strong. And serious, but like tight could be weak.
Overreactive. It could be
tight
overreactive.
Tight is always weak. Okay. And this is because similar to like that neutral state, they have a neutral muscle, like in that, we're going to say marshmallow for the pelvic floor, it has access to a full contraction. If we are too tight or the muscle is already contracted, we can't contract it further, so it's weak. Mm-hmm. And then if the muscle is stretched out, right, then it's too lengthened, it doesn't have access to a full contraction, so a lengthened muscle is weak. Mm. So we have like tight and weak, stretched and weak. The middle zone, the neutral, is like optimal strength access.
So is there self-diagnoses before you go see someone like yourself? Because I think we're going to do an exercise here to figure out.
We should.
Because some folks might not know if they have a specialist in their area, or they might Google, which don't do that
you'll
sometimes.
You'll have cancer if you
because,
do that.
Right. Oh, yeah, it's like terrifying. You go down on WebMD and then you're like, I'm dying.
Yeah.
I'm literally dying.
My life is over.
I do that where I'm like, I have this weird like bump on my arm. And then it's like, it's you're cancer. Dying. You're dying. I'm like, what?
Too much to live.
Yeah. So what's the self-diagnosis first before we go into our own practice of, and speaking to both people that have penises and vulvas, because
right.
And now us three, we all are vulva owners.
We are. Yes.
So, but I know you work with everyone.
Yes.
So it's going to be helpful.
Yeah. So for vulva owners, internal vaginals, very accessible hole. Usually for penis owners, the butthole is the only hole you have access to actually feeling the pelvic floor. Mm. It can get a little ergonomically difficult to stick your finger up your butthole. But the easiest way to assess is to actually feel. Literally. And so we'll be walking through today how to feel your pelvic floor, assess whether it is tighter than a marshmallow or like has more resistance or hardness than a marshmallow or is softer.
And the anus should be marshmallowy too?
Beyond
when you get in,
beyond the sphincter. Yeah. So like you have the two sphincters, the external and internal one, which are about like, you know, about a knuckle. Once you get past that, you'll feel this little like ledge past the internal sphincter. And from then on, it should be.
It feels like a brain in there. That's what I always.
The asshole.
The asshole. Yeah. When you feel it, it feels like the brain. Well, when
the
I never felt a
or
brain.
Inside
the sphincter.
Oh, the actual canal. Sphincter.
Like the canal. When you get in, it's very brainy. When you look at a texture
like
of a brain.
Like ridges
yeah,
and stuff.
It looks like that. I don't know how else to describe it. Or the coral reef that you see that looks like a brain. Like that's what it.
Did that individual have hemorrhoids?
I don't think so. I don't know. I can call him and ask him.
I know. I was like, I don't think my asshole feels like a brain.
I've never felt my own asshole, but I've just put a finger like about that, like a knuckle in. And it never felt like that. But
you felt a brainy asshole.
A brainy asshole. I did. And because I was working on the process. This is when I was new to this whole world. This is years ago. And I was like, it's brainy in there.
Sometimes you can have internal hemorrhoids, which would give that brainy effect.
Okay, that's good to know. I didn't know that
but
back then.
We're
like, oh,
talking
okay.
that beyond that knuckle, beyond
when
the internal,
up.
When it opens up, that all through there. And you really should be able to, like, I mean, palpate
it's a party
everywhere
in there.
All the way around.
Okay.
Like, a fist can go up there. Big things can go up there. And so it should have a lot of space, and it should all feel soft, marshmallowy.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know what I was doing, so that would have worked back then.
She may have, maybe she gave
well,
someone
maybe
some
after
hemorrhoids.
Maybe after today, you'll have
know.
To explore your own butthole or someone else's.
Yeah, that's good homework.
But basically, you know, you can feel for whether it's tighter or, like, harder than a marshmallow. We can also assess the Kegel strength, both anally and vaginally. And so that is measuring its strength. So for today, we'll probably assess the Kegel before any release to see how strong it is, and then do some release, as in find an area that has more resistance than a marshmallow. You massage it, you breathe into it until it softens, and then we'll recheck the Kegel and see if it got any stronger or if that individual had any discomfort with the palpation, which would be kind of the equivalent of any like penetrative butthole stuff or penetrative vagina stuff being uncomfortable, then that discomfort should decrease to be normal sensation of like, oh, my finger's there, but it doesn't have any pain associated with it. And that's how we can best kind of assess both the tightness and the strength of the pelvic floor. And then ultimately, you know, I think it's important to note that for penis owners, symptoms that you can have associated with a tight pelvic floor would be difficulty either getting an erection or maintaining an erection, difficulty ejaculating, a decrease in sensation or even pain with any sort of sex activity.
Is difficulty with ejaculation, including like you come sooner than you want to, or delayed ejaculation? Is it both?
I think that it's more of the delayed, like not being able to go when you can't and when you want to, versus like hypersensitivity with premature ejaculation. You know, there's a lot of different factors that go into that. Mm-hmm. You could have like increased nerve sensitivity, but if it's pleasure, usually when we have like a nerve problem, it's actually more painful, more like burny or electrical or like stuff that wouldn't necessarily make you ejaculate sooner. But when we're having pleasure, it's more of like needing to train to, do edging or...
So this could be, you could actually test this on your own masturbating because during sex, it can be, there could be many different elements, right? If you're PIV sexing.
Yeah.
Or you can ask. You could test kind of the hand, because we were talking a lot about hand jobs earlier.
Yeah.
Like the hand around the cock.
Well, this was the discussion we were having earlier, because I acknowledge I do not have a penis. Mm-hmm. And so when talking about comments that have been left from the previous one about how actually tight is better from a penis owner perspective, you know, I have a lot to say about that, but I don't have a penis myself. So I can't like 100% say I know for sure because I have this penis. So we were kind of discussing with regards to like hand jobs and masturbation and, you know, masturbating tools that are out there, about how they're not usually a death grip. Mm-hmm. Like that they're not, you know, when I'm giving a hand job, I'm not like gripping on for dear life. Because mm-hmm. You could literally stop blood flow within a penis.
It might hurt.
It might hurt.
Which is why tight pussy, if you're...
Well, that's what I was trying to compare it to, is a really tight pussy is going to be like a death grip of a hand with a hand job or masturbation. And then we were kind of also talking about like, usually there's a variety of amount of firmness that you give probably to yourself if you're masturbating or doing a hand job, and that ability to have it be light, to have it be more firm, is the equivalent of like doing a Kegel within a vagina while having penis penetration. And in order to have access to that Kegel, you have to have that neutral pelvic floor. If you're too tight, you have no ability to vary how much, you know, constriction is going around in a penis. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, we were trying to kind of come up with ways of being like, I think we know what we're talking about, even though we don't have a penis per se. But I am curious about listeners out there. Like if you really do think about the two extremes, like, can we all admit that that middle ground is the most pleasure and also more pleasurable for a vagina too, that we should care about how it feels for the person who's being penetrated too.
Well, and the other thing we were talking about before, it was, and you mentioned masturbation. So did you, April, is if you are doing a death grip masturbation mm-hmm. practice, or really fast and hard, whether you're a cock owner or a vulva owner, and then it feels like that's all that you want or need when you have sex. And if you don't have that, then there's something wrong with the other person or with the sex. That's an opportunity to look at yourself and be like, okay, well, how did I contribute to this programming? Because plenty of people don't like that, don't want that, and don't do it that way. And if you're just to get rid of some of the shame here, if that's you and you like it and your partner likes it, or maybe you don't have a partner, but the people you're having sex with like really tight, hard, you know, whatever, good for y'all. That's totally fine. And I think that there's just a conditioning or programming that happens. We're kind of like little computers. It's often based on how we started masturbating when we were younger. You know, maybe mom or dad or some adult was going to walk in the room, so you had to go really fast and hard quickly to have your orgasm. And then you probably didn't make any sound because you didn't want anyone to hear it. And then that hangs out with you when you're older. But this can be shifted through practice, mm-hmm. changing your masturbation practice and just trying. And you might not have an orgasm right away, right? Like you might do this for a little bit and then you're like, oh, I'm not having the orgasm. But if you stick with it, people shift. One of my ex-partners did this. You know, they were someone that felt like they wanted to shift their masturbation practice, and their body's response within their sexual realm, it was actually after we were together. and they did, but it took a month. It took a month of daily practice.
Yeah.
You know, like 20 minutes a day, not doing the old like hard.
Yeah. And I mean, I did the shift of being dependent on vibrator external stimulation of the clitoris, mm-hmm. trying to go to, oh, can I do finger external stimulation of the clitoris and have an orgasm? But again, it takes practice. It takes time because you're so conditioned, you know, to really? It being a certain way with a certain tool or however it is. But then it opens up, like once you go through that process, it opens up like so much, a bigger world of pleasure, right? You have like so much more access to lots of different strategies.
Varieties.
And variety.
Good.
Well, another thing that I thought was interesting reading some of the comments was that a too tight of pussy, or if it's a pussy that isn't tight, it needs less lubrication. And I was like, I don't think that is a thing, because some pussies will get lubed even if they're tight as fuck, or they'll get naturally lubricated. Lube is always a good thing. So I don't understand the concept of thinking that it would mean less lube because you can just shove your things in, your bits.
Your things.
Your bits. If it's a dildo or a penis, you're just shoving it in there without anything. Like, that doesn't sound comfy.
Yeah. I mean, you definitely are going to get lube if you're aroused.
It says less lube when too tight. Sorry. Well, so I misunderstood.
Well, no. But you will get a level of lubrication when you are aroused, whether you have a tight pussy or you don't, period. What you won't get is with a tight pussy is that when there's a lack of blood flow and a lack of like suppleness to the tissue, that lubrication is going to be like short term, not stick around for a long time. Mm-hmm. And there won't be like replenishing as you go. So, and also if you are having penetrative sex with discomfort, like for the human body, we try to avoid pain typically. I know that there is some pleasurable pain, period. Mm-hmm. But for the pelvic floor, the go-to is usually to kind of constrict against that and protect against that. And so that inherently is going to reduce your lubrication, mm-hmm. Because you're becoming less aroused because of just kind of that like pain, tightness cycle.
When I think about it, and I think of like if my pussy was just like super tight, you all can't see, but I have my fists kind of gripping and pulling up. Because that's kind of what tightness does. It like sucks in. Why would lubrication come out when you're kind of suctioned in? But when you get more like, or when we talk about juicy pussies, like mm-hmm. y'all who think that tight pussies are the way, what about juicy pussies? Because they're pretty awesome.
Juicy pussies are awesome. And I can agree with that.
Yeah. 100%. And that's when and a pussy also is erectile tissue, right?
Yeah.
So it's blood flow. Things. That's why it gets all marshmallowy.
It's why it's a marshmallow. And this is the connection, right? Between when we are talking about marshmallow within a vagina, we're talking about that, you know, supple, lubricated, well blood flowed Ken Kegel. But then again, in a penis, we are talking about like ability for blood to actually get into the penis mm-hmm. and stay there, and then ability to actually have access to Kegel contraction to ejaculate and all of those fun things that we're all looking for. And
in terms of penis owner pelvic floor too, you mentioned difficulty maintaining a steady urine flow or initiating urine flow. And I've heard dudes peeing sometimes where it's like,
I'd say
like, whoa, what's happening?
I'd say the one exception to that is that if like they wake up in the morning and they have a erection, then it
really
does
hard.
Take a bit of time to allow for urine to come out when you have an erection, just because blood flow is restricting the passageway for pee. But generally speaking, when we don't have erections, we should be able to initiate pee, have it be steady, and have it all empty. And so if you're having that like or you're like standing there and just kind of like like waiting for
this
that
is different
to come.
From the stage fright thing, like sometimes I'm peeing in front of someone, you know, like squatting somewhere, I get stage fright. But that's like,
well, but that's a tight pelvic floor, so you're so having the harder time relaxing your pelvic floor because of the stage fright issue.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the brain, everyone, is connected to everything.
I know, it is. And also, like, I mean, back pain, pelvic pain, hip pain, like all of those are associated with tight pelvic floors. And so there's a lot of, you know, penis owners out there that mm-hmm. experience those things in addition to hemorrhoids, mm-hmm. like the brain
hemorrhoids.
That's just a guess on my end, but that
this
would
is why
guess.
Everything's connected. This is why it's important to listen to your body and these things, if you want to have it, it's all leading to more pleasure. When 100%. You identify these things and you seek out some sort of support medically or from a therapist, which is a pelvic floor therapist, which is a medical form. It's not like you're going to pop a pill and this is going to go away. It sounds like it's muscular. So it's just like you can't put your pill in your mouth to make you beefier, to like look like you went to the gym every day when you're not.
I don't know about like, steroids.
Well, yeah, I'm sure you still need to do something.
It's like aesthetic, not functional, right? Yeah. So it's like it comes down to just, yeah, better function in addition to pleasure as well. And a lot of people, I think, sit with pelvic floor dysfunction or symptoms of it and just don't even know that it's that it could be different, mm-hmm. because similar to like, you know, getting stuck in ways of the initial masturbation practices, it's like, well, when it's all you've ever known, we don't know that it could be different. And when we're not talking about how, oh, this is actually muscles we're talking about here, then that can be changed. We can always change muscles. Then, you know, it needs to be known, like, hey, this doesn't have to be how it is. Mm-hmm. And the messaging out there does need to shift with less acceptance for this like mediocre, you know, level.
Tolerating.
I have to work through with quite a few individuals actually getting them to be okay with relaxing their pelvic floor, because the messaging out there is so strong that a tighter pussy is better. Mm. And so there's a lot of personal, you know, confliction there to be like, well, but a tighter pussy's better and I don't want to have, you know, this loosey-goosey gaping hole, because I know that these penis owners like tighter pussies. And that's the messaging that a lot of individuals have stuck in their brains. And so getting through that to say like, well, also it's going to be more pleasurable for the penis in addition to, you're not going to have to continue to have these symptoms that you're experiencing.
That's why that Megan the Stallion and Cardi B, the song was not about you a tight ass pussy.
It's a wet ass pussy.
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's the direction we need to head.
Yeah. Exactly. Yes. Well, and then there's also I won't name names, but vaginal weightlifting.
Right.
Like if your pussy's really, and so that actually, I guess somewhat makes sense because you have control over your pussy. So we're talking about more like control over the strength. It's not always tight and near every day, but you might be able to put, I don't know, like a little toy plug thing in your pussy and hang a surfboard off of it. Like Kim Anami did. I said her name.
You have to have access to a full Kegel there. So chances are that,
and a surfboard
and all the things.
All the things.
Yeah. And like a lot of time sometimes to be thinking about what would be most impressive to hold with your vagina.
But so if that pussy was super tight all the time, you wouldn't be able to do it. Yeah. So that's what I think, and that's confusing to people when they see that and they're like, oh, that means that pussy's just really tight all the time. But instead, this is just a strong muscle.
2 pounds
a
strong, we don't know.
Healthy muscle.
Yeah.
Would you say
it could have been photoshopped?
It could be a small surfboard.
Yeah.
Very lightweight,
this
new material.
A big surfboard. I was really impressed.
It could be made from some sort of new plastic that is very lightweight.
I also just,
we don't know.
It was tangent. I remember seeing this Howard Stern episode where there was someone who maybe she was a dancer or sex worker or something, but it was a show because he films it, so you can see the video of it. And she sat on his lap and demoed how much she can Kegel and do like tight and release to the point where he could really feel it like all over his leg.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about. That's a healthy pelvic floor. All right.
And that is like, yeah, I think oftentimes people would say like, oh, well, that level of strength must be tight. And that is untrue.
So that's the big myth. Okay.
That's the big myth.
So the words should be just strong and healthy.
Strong and wet
and marshmallow and strong, wet, healthy. Yeah. And also like the wet thing too, for me, that's a little bit, cause I have a blocked Bartholin's gland. And so the wetness is, so Uber Lube is my best friend.
Yeah.
And it's not that I can't.
Lube
is
everyone's best friend. Let's be honest here.
And you know, the fluids come from all kinds of things, but I do know that when I feel healthier, when I feel like I'm exercising my pelvic floor, either with orgasm sex or doing Kegel exercises, and I'm hydrated, then I have more wetness, but I am not like seeking out tightness. I'm seeking out pleasure and wetness.
Yeah. And we can talk about how a lymph node or how a gland would get blocked in the first place. And it's usually associated with a tight pelvic floor that doesn't have good blood flow or circulation of flow fluid.
I've been pretty sure that it's from having a lot of compliant sex in my teenage years, my early 20s, like not listening to my body. And so my body is really smart. It's like, well, I guess we're just gonna block off this thing over here.
Yeah.
And then I get a surgery and it's better now. So do we want to, so just before we go, to the demo. There's so we got a couple of these fun comments
here. Just make sure we've addressed all of the fun ones.
So we got leaking all over the place from being tight. Please explain.
Yes. So that has to do kind of what you talked about, how tight is weak. And the reason for that is that the muscle is already contracted. It can't contract more, so it can't hold the pee in.
Okay.
That is that.
God, it's talking about urine specifically. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
This is a good one too about, is there a certain clearance margin? I love the way that's addressed. When it's snug, we're talking about, is this okay? So like a snug, clearance margin. What does it mean?
What does it mean?
Is that
I'm thinking
thing?
Like someone like a traffic signs.
I just thought about sales. I'm like, what's the margin, the profitability with this pussy?
Well, it's hard because there is, I mean, there's just such a variance in penis sizes too, right? So, I mean, can we even define that? Because the things that we are putting in vaginas are different sizes. But ultimately, a healthy pelvic floor will be able to allow for penetration of any and most things, all things we can even say.
Sometimes you need to go a little slower for
a little while, and that the space will be filled but not have resistance against that thing. Hmm. So there is like, it's not like there's this gap between the thing that is in the vaginal canal and the walls of the vagina. There's not a gap or a clearance margin, but it's that the walls aren't like specifically applying resistance into that tissue, because that would be tightness.
Okay. Got it.
Is that... Did that answer that?
I think still don't know what clearance margin is.
I think someone's thinking about, like, you know, you have this tunnel and then you're putting something in it. And so is there like an amount that needs to be around the thing that's being put in the tunnel?
I see.
And the answer is no, there is no actual clearance, but it's more about the marshmallow surrounding the thing.
And so with sizing, with Susan Bratton said, which I really enjoyed, was like, all pussies come in all different shapes and sizes. So do cocks. We already know that about cocks, and people don't understand that about pussies. Not everyone, but a lot of people don't, because you can't see them. Yep. And so, but with a cock, you can, like, oh, you're 4 inches or you're 9 inches or you're all the in-betweens.
You measured.
But like, if you're someone with a cock having sex with someone with a pussy and it feels, or vice versa, a pussy owner with a cock owner, and the cock feels generally too big for your pussy, or the pussy feels too big for your cock or whatever, this also might be like a sizing pairing thing.
It could be a sizing pairing thing. I would say that some penises and objects get just so big that any pelvic floor would have a hard time accommodating them. Again, similar to like the butthole has the two sphincters, that like we just need to take time to allow for anything to go in through those two sphincters, right? So I'm sure that there's some like limitations there. But when we have, I think a lot of times there is discomfort that maybe doesn't need to be there when we're having penetration because of a pelvic floor tightness. So I'd say like, if it has to do with the penis being feeling too big for the vagina, there's something to do to maybe improve that within like a certain level of, you know, reason. And then with regards to penis being you know, too, like vagina being too big or penis being too small, that's a little harder, right? The vagina needs to have access to a Kegel to be able to wrap around anything. And it should be able to, like, I should be able to stick my pinky into a vagina and someone should be able to wrap around it to apply. So that should work with all sizes, but the vagina has to have access to that Kegel in order to do so.
I want to read one of these because they're so, it's just really, really funny. And my favorite way when people open a comment or when you're talking to them, if they say, with all due respect, you know, you don't, first of all, they're not respecting
the shit sandwich.
Yes. It's like, ma'am, I don't know actually if this is what gender we have going on here or what their pronouns are, but ma'am, with all due respect, you're wrong. And I don't know why. I just want to say, I want to feel like I'm filling that thing to the brim. There's some hallways that look nice, but unenjoyable.
I would love to have that individual specifically be here right now to be able to have a conversation about both their experiences in general, but also just, I mean, saying that someone's wrong just straight
with all
up.
Due respect though, there you go.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's like bless your heart, bless that means heart. Fuck you pretty much.
Seriously, I will
admit,
because
this person's really knowledgeable sex educator,
of course, you know, of course. I will admit that the thing that maybe this individual has that I don't have is a penis, and so I cannot speak from personal experience as this individual has, but I'd be very, maybe this individual has, we don't know, but I'd be very curious as to like what experiences this individual has had, and are those experiences very limited to where this person doesn't even really know, mm-hmm. like the pleasure capacity of other situations.
Well, and it's also very, this comment's very much focused on the pussy owner changing their body or being, but like, what about your work?
You know,
like what, how does your cock play into this? Because like we said, everyone's all different shapes, sizes. And yes, maybe some people are, a lot of people, everyone you said is a little on the too tight side, but you're kind of discrediting your own contribution here because it takes at least two plus to tango.
And what if you're feeling that thing and it doesn't feel good for the person you're feeling?
For the person that you're doing it.
Right.
Yeah. And it's like, we have to care about what is happening with the other person. And if you're forcing a penis into a too tight of a hole, then it does not feel good for that individual, regardless of whether they're saying it or not.
No, grosses.
Regardless if you want to feel like you're feeling that thing to the brim.
Yeah. But it's probably
going to be a hot dog in the hallway.
It's probably going to be a one and done because that person's probably not going to want to do it with you.
They're
anymore.
Like, exactly. I'll call you, don't call me.
or here's my fake number.
Or it's that relationship where like you're still in the relationship, but they don't want to have sex with
they
you.
They don't want
to
have sex.
Yeah. Like, it doesn't feel good. It hurts.
I just like to look at it. I don't really want to feel it my body. Sorry. Yeah.
Right. Well, okay. What about, of course, girls would say it's not. Tighter is better. Duh.
Well,
that's just fucked.
Here's the messaging, right? This is why I have to convince people that for their own pelvic floors, people with very significant pelvic floor symptoms, that I have to convince them that they don't have to have these symptoms as long as they can get their pelvic floor to this more neutral state, and that it's not going to change the pleasure that the penis is going to experience in sex, and that their vagina will not be looked at as, you know, a gaping hole or something undesirable or all these things. This is the message, the shame.
Yeah.
And this is the message that's out there, you know, everywhere. And the message that, like, I mean, we receive as vagina or vulva owners so early on, mm-hmm. and we're conditioned, even if our current partners don't even feel that way, we're still conditioned.
Oh yeah.
Tighter is better.
Media,
and it's being
porn,
fed still.
It's all over. And these people on TikTok. So yeah. One thing that came to mind when I read that was, if I were to say, of course, a big dick is better for everyone, that's not true.
Right.
April doesn't like a big old dick. I don't want a huge dick. But
makes it the dick problem.
But I know plenty of people that do. I know some people that want a big dick. Everyone's different.
Everyone's different.
Yeah. And that would be really shaming to say that. Like that, you know, if I were to say that because I like bigger dicks, of course, everyone wants a bigger dick. Then I would basically be saying that you're broken if you're not that. And there's only one way to be. And that's ridiculous.
Yeah. And also, like, good luck trying to fix your penis size if you're not that.
Good luck on that one.
Good luck on that one.
It was bathmate that can add a little engorgement for a minute, but
not too much though.
No,
we're
talking, and we like penises in all sizes. Everyone, no penis shame here. Okay,
actually, that's also not pussy shame.
No, well, yes,
no,
it seems. I mean, because there's that, both of those things happen.
Shallow vagina.
You do have a shallow vagina, and you have a tilted cervix too.
Yeah, people have different sizes pelvises where it's like some are really deep and some are really wide, and others are really narrow, and others are really short.
Just like us, where some of us are tall, some of us are short, some of us are curvy.
Some of us have brown hair.
Why would our pussies not be
as fuck? And some of us, you know, we don't know. Oh, wow. It's humor.
It's so ridiculous that people think that there's like just a one size fits all pussy.
I know.
Oh my God.
Oh my
God. Or cock. But we know that about cocks. We know it's not true. I think for the most part, but like, come on. Or assholes, everyone. All assholes are even different. I like butthole. Buttholes.
Butthole, asshole. Yeah. Anus just sounds too formal.
It does.
Anus. We like anus over here.
Anus.
Yeah. Time for a quick break to talk about our hands down favorite lube, who also happens to be a sponsor, Uberlube. Uberlube is a luxurious silicone lubricant that enhances intimacy, and I actually want it all over my body, y'all. I'm not joking. It's long lasting and it leaves my skin feeling really velvety, almost silky, and has no flavor or scent. And April, I've heard you say this, great for oral sex. That's
right.
Mm-hmm. And they happen to have thousands of doctors and therapists in the U.S. alone recommending UpperLube to their patients for various reasons, including it feels amazing on the skin, it's highly body friendly, it's less likely to change the pH, and that vitamin E leaves the skin feeling nice and moisturized.
UpperLube is not just for sex. It's for massage, you can use it for your hair frizzies, for buffing up your tattoos, and it even prevents chafing. It comes in this gorgeous glass bottle that I love, so the aesthetics are beautiful. It has this easy pump top. You're going to love it. It looks more like a cosmetic, so you can leave it shamelessly on your nightstand. Just go to uberlube.com and use discount code SHAMELESS to get 10% off and free shipping. Again, that's UberLube.com right now with code SHAMELESS for 10% off and free shipping.
This podcast is also brought to you by OMGS.com. I've been recommending OMGS to my clients for years now, and it's completely changed their lives, including that of my own. OMGS utilizes scientific research of real vulvas showing techniques to pleasure the pussy. And then they turn the research into tasteful, educational short videos, animated modules, and infographics. And here's the thing. OMGS is for anyone who wants to learn about vulva pleasure or take it to the next level. Hey, vulva owners, want to transform your own orgasms from good to out of this world? Or vulva admirers want to up your pussy pleasure skills? Well, you gotta check OMGS out now.
OMGS studied more than 20,000 people of all ages from 18 to 95. There are three seasons. This is not a subscription service, and you don't need to download anything. There's external pleasure, internal pleasure, and a season all about sex toys. Your purchase helps fund more research, and it's an incredible gift. Go to omgs.com/shameless to get 10% off right now. Again, that's omgs.com/shameless to receive 10% off unlimited access towards enhancing your pleasure power. All right, everyone, it's demo time. Woo, woo, woo. And Amy is the demo human. She's the demoer. And Jenny's
glad you didn't say test bunny.
Test bunny. She will be performing what?
I'm performing.
She will be performing the self-assessment that Jenny Putt is going to tell her what to do.
How to do it. Yeah. Yes.
I'm putting my thumb in my pussy.
You are putting your thumb in your pussy.
On air.
Yes.
Okay.
You are. But
I can't see your pussy either,
with
by the way.
With the lens of assessing the muscle of your pelvic floor.
Got it. So yes. I'm not trying to diddle myself.
So we're not really going up toward the top where all the good
orgasm.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, you could at the end if you want to. It might even be stronger than usual.
Their ratings go way up.
That's one way to go about this.
The When Harry Met Sally orgasm. Yeah.
They'll just fake it for Jenny and be like, that's not real. I know that's not real.
Call your blood.
So Jenny told me to. So will you describe that?
So basically,
I'm sitting.
You want to be in a comfortable position, usually a little bit elevated, a position where you're going to have access to your pussy or to your butthole if you don't have a vagina. But it is it is harder to access the butthole yourself with fingers. There's lots of wands that are available for that. But we want to be in a comfortable position.
Vibrating wands, you're saying. Wands.
They're like pelvic floor. Have you heard of the Theracane for like your neck?
No.
It's like a cane that helps you like release your neck.
Oh, yes.
It's the same idea, but for internal
pelvic
floor.
I've thrown a bunch of those away because I didn't know what they were.
Oh, they're so lovely. Oh,
okay. I might have one in the garage
for you. I will take it if you don't want it. So you want to be in a comfortable position where you can relax and where you have access to whatever hole you're going in. You also want to have clean hands. Soap and water is totally fine. And lubrication.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
And
Uberlube.
Trim nails if you're going to be putting
and
that
trim nails,
more.
What do you
probably.
Do if you get your nails did? Do you just put gloves over them?
You can put gloves
and
over
cotton,
them.
And cotton
the gloves
balls?
With the cotton balls at the
or
tips.
Or a finger condom with a cotton
but
ball?
But that if your nails are, if you have like talons, that might not be good. So mine always stay short.
You might
short,
need
so.
To just use a wand.
Yeah.
Okay.
Talons,
okay.
Yeah. To be safe. So yeah, I'm on our couch if you're watching our videos. This is not a full video right now. You can't watch me go and put my thumb
that
in my pussy right now.
Would get immediately removed from the middle of the thing.
And I'm on our Shameless Sex couch here against two pillows with my back upright and then my legs are out. My dog is chewing a bully stick at my feet. I'm not going to look at him during this.
And you're going, and Jenny's going to guide her on what to do and give her instructions.
Yes. And I have the glorious UberLube because we love lube and we love UberLube. It's the best lube ever.
All right, let's do it.
Okay.
All
so
right.
You're going to pick a thumb and you're going to lube up that thumb. You can be gracious, but UberLube a little bit goes a long way.
Ooh.
And then you're going to insert your thumb. So this is for vaginas specifically. For butthole, you'd probably need to use like your middle finger or your pointer finger. So you're going to lube up your finger, and then you're going to have the pad of your finger. So like nail is up toward the ceiling and pad of your finger is down toward your butthole. And you're going to insert it in about, like, we'll just say like a thumbnail deep. So like just
too far already.
Hey, yo.
Like, hey.
We in there.
Like, bam.
And then what you're going to do is you're going to kind of like put a little pressure toward your butthole and palpate kind of in like a half circle or half moon.
So you're doing, okay, I see. So you're...
And you're feeling for what does the tissue feel like?
See, this. Okay, just coming back to like the brainy butthole that we were talking about. I mean, my vaginal floor feels... like, or my canal feels as like a more of the brainy tissue.
Marshmallowy?
So there's no, like ridges.
Okay. Ridges. Yeah, ridges.
There's ridges. Yeah. Now, are the ridges soft like a marshmallow or are they hard?
A little harder.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that.
Pelvic floor release.
So that is tightness.
Yeah.
Now, sensation.
That makes sense.
That makes sense now. Now, sensation wise, what does it feel like? Is there any, like, are you kind of like, oh, well, my finger's there and it's just applying some pressure, nothing right home about, or do you have any other sensations associated with
Remind
it?
Remind me, I'm kind of just going back and
you're
forth
just
on
kind
the
of
lower
like
part.
Apply, yeah, yeah. Like, if you were to think about the whole of the vagina, you're kind of like doing the half moon on the bottom half
Got
of it.
Okay.
With a little bit of pressure into the tissue to be able to feel whether it has resistance.
Yeah, it feels ridgy and checking it out. Like, oh, there's my clitoris. That's not part of the game.
And she shouldn't be clenching or anything. She's relaxing.
No, she's trying to kind of just like really breath work is really what allows for relaxation. So you can kind of breathe into wherever
you're
opening
your legs too.
Yeah, open your legs. You want to feel like you're in the relaxed state. You're not holding your legs up. You're just kind of like breathing down into where your finger is and in a relaxed
position. Can you give me like a sensation scale?
Like, does it feel, do you feel any discomfort? Do you feel burning? Do you feel sharp pain? Do you, or is it numb? Are you only aware that your finger's there because you put your finger there? No. Or is it just kind of like, I know where my finger is and that's that?
I can feel my finger. It's not numb or painful or burning or uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And at certain parts, so when I like push my finger backwards, like towards my cervix,
like in more
part, in more, yeah, there's sensation. But when I pull forward a little bit, there's a little bit of pleasure.
A little bit of pleasure. Oh, so no. It feels kind of good. Now, if you were to find like the hardest part, so like the area of that kind of half moon that has the most restriction to it, so like the hardest tissue, so the furthest away from a marshmallow.
So like more the thick, the ridgy stuff I'm talking
ridgy
about.
Ridgy stuff that has some resistance to it. And you were to apply pressure into that, similar to if you were massaging someone's neck.
Yeah.
What does it feel like as you apply pressure?
So I'm kind of kneading it?
You're kind of just like, yeah, laying into it. Kind of like a trigger point release,
Got
if
it.
You will.
Okay.
What does it feel like as you do that?
I kind of feel like I have to pee.
Okay.
And you just peed.
I did not.
Oh, you didn't pee? I thought you just peed before.
No, I did. Oh, yes,
before
I did.
Before you released your bladder, okay, though,
oh,
before,
she thought
right?
you meant like pee on the
oh,
couch.
Oh, no,
I didn't. She did not pee on the couch.
But I'm saying you probably clarify that. Because you just released your all the bladder.
So,
and I just laughed and I could feel my pelvic floor tighten.
Okay.
Okay. Well, that's actually good because the pelvic floor in response to coughing, sneezing, and laughing should do a little tightening to prepare for that pressure. So whenever we have the sensation of needing to pee, when we're not pushing on the urethra itself, we're just pushing on a muscle, that is like a referral from a trigger point. Mm-hmm. So if you tend to pee more frequently than every 2 hours, 2 to 4 hours, then that this could be a cause for that, if that makes sense.
I don't, I'm like this bladder.
You have a bladder of
a camel.
Of something.
Yeah, I'm like a camel.
Okay.
Camels have a good bladder.
They do?
They can really hold
I thought
their...
They just
I like
that
we're having a conversation and I just have a finger in my pussy.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Let's digress here.
It's totally normal for me.
Yeah.
Okay. So
I'm on the ridgy
So
thing.
You find the ridgy part. Okay. So now you know, like, okay, that's the tightest part within, like, the first layer. Now I want you to go in deeper. So go more toward, like, your knuckle, kind of where you initially started. So we're not right at the fingertip.
Oh, I already went with the knuckle. Sorry.
Oh, you're already at the knuckle. Okay. So that was an assessment at your knuckle depth.
I'm in my knuckle depth. Yeah.
Okay. Where was that ridging and tightness that you just found?
In my knuckle depth.
It was knuckle.
So it's probably like, it feels like it's about 2 inches in or
in? Okay. Then so you just kind of assess the second layer of your pelvic floor.
I already went that far.
So then I actually want you to pull out a little bit and go to just like a nail bed.
Oh, interesting.
And assess that same half circle. What does it feel like? How hard is it? rigid wise.
Definitely some hardness there, and no pain. A little bit of that EBGB thing I was talking about, which is not on air, but like about
it's the like a sensitivity, a nerve sensitivity.
Yeah, like the inner labia EBGB things, because I'm closer to my inner labia.
Opening. Yeah. Okay. Okay. So, and is there a part of that half circle that feels the tightest if you were to kind of compare it to
the rest of it? Yeah. How do I tell if it's, because I can feel the ridges that are really firm, but then I can also just feel what feels like part of the muscle that's on the connected to my anal canal, because that's firm too.
So none of it should be firm. It should all be a marshmallow.
There's a really okay. I found the firm one. Got it. Super firm.
Okay.
The firm one. There's one in there that's really nice firm.
So you found the most significant firmness.
Oh, it's significant.
Okay. So now you're going to say that that is the tightest part of your pelvic floor that you've assessed at this point in this session.
Yeah.
Okay. Now I want you to stick your finger back in as far as you can. You're going to assess your Kegel strength right now. So you're going to do a Kegel and you're going to feel a full strength Kegel is that it squeezes all the way around your finger and lifts up, like lifts your finger up into the vagina. So you're feeling for like, can I squeeze all the way around and does it have a lift to it?
And is the Kegel like a 2 second hold, 3 second hold?
No, you're just like doing it, feeling what it feels like. You're getting like a baseline, like
in and out, squeeze
it
and
feels good on my thumb.
Squeeze and release and one and
which
two.
Would feel good on a penis as
I can
well.
Do like some Jane Fonda workout shit for you. If you
that's so cool. Because I can feel like the bottom part of my pelvic floor like significantly lifting up, and then the rest of it also is moving. That part's the stronger part. That's like
but the lift of it.
Yeah, the lift.
So just make a mental note of like how strong it is, how like global it is, like how much of you're getting kind of an even.
You want me to take notes for you?
Yeah, we write this
just
down.
Just make a note.
So if I were to rate it on a scale, I would give like the bottom part of my pelvic floor, like my thumb's kind of pressing down to it. I'm gonna give that a 10 because it is real good.
Excellent.
And then like around the side. I'm gonna give them a good 7 or 8.
Okay, showing up for you.
The top is lighter.
Okay, top's lighter.
The top is more, which is interesting because the tight part's on the bottom, but that feels stronger.
This is what we're gonna try to change. It's all connected. They don't function as like little muscles that sit on islands by themselves. The whole thing's very connected.
It's not an island.
Okay. And then with regards to the pull, do you feel like a very strong pull of your finger up into your vagina, like where there's almost resistance if you tried to pull it out, or do you feel like it's
like medium?
Medium. Okay, cool. Okay, so now you're gonna go to the spot that was the most firm.
That's more outward.
So it was like kind of toward the opening.
Oh, it's and a little to the left.
There you go. Yeah. So opening a little to the left. And then you are going to massage it as if you were massaging someone's neck. So you're going to apply a significant amount of pressure into it. Whatever is tolerable if there's any pain, but you said there wasn't a lot of pain associated with maybe the heebie-jeebies. So if the heebie-jeebies get so strong that you're tightening against it, then too much.
Yeah.
And then you're going to focus on your inhale. You're going to breathe into where your thumb is. You're going to breathe into it to facilitate relaxation, similar to if someone had an elbow in your mid back massaging a tight muscle, you would breathe into it to get it to let go. And you're gonna stay there breathing into it until you can feel that it becomes a little softer.
The spot already moved a little bit.
Great.
Now, because it was like on the lower part, and now it's like curving up.
So then you can follow that.
If someone had a ton of pain, should they kind of?
It would
drop
be like
into that and breathe into it until it releases.
Whoa. Yes. Found a really wild spot.
Okay. So that wild spot, these are the spots that we're looking for. Yeah. All of the like kind of wildness of it, I need you to associate with this as like a tight muscle, not that there's like a problem in there.
Yeah. So the spot I just found, it might be my finger or my labia, but it's definitely, but again, it moved. It was like, felt like, it, or the tightness, I don't know if I was just holding my finger for a while in the lower part, but when I'm up and like over to the left a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wait, so when you put pressure on it, it moved.
Yeah, well, I was doing that with the other one. Now I'm massaging this spot.
Yeah, and so basically you're like finding tightness. You're massaging it, breathing into it to relax it. It will let go. It will soften, and then you go find another one.
Oh, that. So it's
not breathe. Breathe.
That's amazing.
So it's not rocket science.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not.
We're just kind of moving. I know people think pelvic floor specialists are really special, but we're not that special.
You are though. You really are.
But it is something that people are totally capable of doing themselves.
Yeah, I can totally see what you're talking about. I feel like I have a lot of tissue to massage out.
Okay. So now do you feel like you've made any sort of difference? Like it's a little softer?
Well, that spot changed
too. Okay, cool. Yeah. So now you can go back and you can reassess your Kegel and you can just see if it changed your strength at all. And maybe it will and maybe it won't. But this is kind of the process that we go through as pelvic PTs to just make sure that the release of the pelvic floor is also increasing the strength of the Kegel.
Okay, so then I would put my thumb all the way in?
Yep, stick it all the way in and then do that squeeze and that lift of the Kegel and see if it's changed in any of its qualities. What happened over there?
Oh, you're not making a face.
You are making a face.
No, I'm in surprise. I'm like, wow, it still feels lighter on the top. Yeah. And like the same on the top of the bottom, but the top in size, but the bottom part feels like it has more of a...
So you rate it at a 10, but it actually had more.
It's like a 12 now.
It had more to it.
12 out of 10.
So that is like a really, like we apply that.
Oh yeah. That standard of like, well, this is just how I am.
This is just how I am. I'm the strongest that I ever have been, but you could be stronger.
Whoa. I'm going to massage my pussy every day.
And this is the doors that open. Yeah, you can.
Well, so let's recap this. Yes. So in kind of bullet points, if you had to elevator it for someone that wants to do a self-assessment, what they're looking for, what to do quickly, and then kind of how often should they do this?
Right. So we want to be in a relaxed position with clean hands and lube. When we're using the fingers, we're really only accessing layer 1 and 2. So that's kind of that like thumbnail to beyond first knuckle, kind of the
whole
thumb.
Don't do what I did where you go all the way in.
I mean, you can start deep and then work your way superficial, but with our own fingers, we're really only able to get to layer 1 and 2. Butthole wise, like you're probably only able again to get to layer 1, maybe 2. The third layer, the deepest layer, is actually where a lot of the magic happens, but we have to have tools in order to access it as individuals. So part of me was like, I'm going to bring tools to
me. Yeah, you had said I'm going to bring wands.
I was going to, but
that should be only with a medical professional.
No. Okay. You can totally buy a wand. The most accessible ones are Intimate Rose. They're on Amazon. They are silicone based. I like Uberlube. But if you wash them right away, you're probably fine. Yeah. And the cool part about the Intimate Rose one is it has a vagina end and a butthole end.
Oh.
So the butthole one is thinner and longer. I find that when I'm doing vaginal release, the butthole end gets in the way of my thighs. So it's why it's not my favorite one. But for most universal use and access, it is the easiest one to get on Amazon and also has both ends. But that's going to give you the kind of third layer access. And then essentially when we're with our finger, we can feel if it's harder than a marshmallow. When we're with the wand, we don't have that feedback, but we do have feedback of discomfort or numbness or reproduction of any other symptoms we're experiencing. And so we use that as the guide to know whether we're on a tight muscle or not.
I have a question. Just, I know we have to wrap up the show, but so like putting my own fingers inside of me feels like totally fine, but I'm not really that into putting things inside of me other than my ass. My ass loves it, but in my pussy that aren't made of human things. That's just me personally. I like it on my clit, the outside of my vulva and anal for sure. But not saying that you all should do that too. But so like, when you're saying that with the wand, my body's already a little bit like, ooh,
heebie-jeebies. Yeah. And you know, you do what you're comfortable with. And, but I will say that like a lot, you could see a pelvic floor physical therapist, they can access your third layer for you. Mm-hmm. But ultimately with regards to like how often, if we do pelvic floor release for 2 to 5 minutes, most days of the week, you're going to have the quickest gains. Within 2 weeks, you're going to have a change of symptoms.
2 week challenge, everyone. Should we do a 2 week challenge?
2 to 5 minutes
That's
every day.
Nothing.
It's nothing. Wow. But most of the magic happens in that third layer. So you can ask yourself like, why do I feel I don't want that? Is there any way to go around that? Or if not, then just like do what you can within layer 1 or 2. You will have access, you know, you'll get some improvement there. And then use your breath to see if you can let go of that kind of deeper layer.
Yeah.
But a little bit goes a long way with this. And it's the consistency I found. It's kind of like yoga. 5 minutes of yoga every day is where you're going to have your benefit.
Or meditation.
Versus like,
that's
anything.
Completely.
Versus like your 1 week, 1 hour yoga class is not going to give
and
you as
the
much.
Beauty of this is that there's professionals in most places. If you live in somewhat near to a city, because it would be helpful if you're not
for guidance.
Comfortable. Right. Yeah. To guide you through to make sure you're doing things in a way that you're getting the right information.
Yes.
And so Jenny Putt lives in...
But.
I always say Putt.
It's hard to know. My last name actually was Pot.
Okay.
And then we migrated to Germany and they were like, we're going to make this more German, but like pretend German, because Putt isn't actually a German name or word. And so if we were in Germany, they probably would say put. But we're in America and everyone
says
put.
I say most things that I say it phonetically, like it's a origin. Are you Greek? I'll say like Greek. So my Grecian friends would love
that. It makes you different.
Jenny Putt, she lives in Santa Cruz. So yes. If you are from, as Amy said, y'all have known each other for almost what, 20
plus years?
Oh my God,
we're 20-year high school reunions.
Yeah.
I'll believe that when I see it. Yeah. Actually, it's happening.
So like 20, no, we went to junior high together too, right?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
You
so like 26
babies
years
together. And Jenny's, I always learn something from you. You're cool. So fantastic to have on the show. So if people want to find you and
they
work
can,
with you
yeah,
or someone
to,
in your field.
Yes, they can head to my website, Jenny Putt, PT, JennyPutt.
That's P-U-T-T, right?
P-U-T-T, yeah. Like golf.
But yeah. Then PT after
yeah.
That.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Afterit.com. You'll see that my whole website is really geared toward the perinatal population because I'm really starting to specialize in that. But if you just go to contact, you can contact me. You can even set up a little 15-minute little chat with me, and I can either direct you toward where you can get help or help you myself virtually. I will be out for a while with this baby situation.
She's having a baby.
She's having a baby.
Always use me as a resource, and I always make sure that whoever contacts me gets the help that they need, because a lot of the times it's just knowing that it exists and how to find it.
Mm.
Yeah,
I love
that's
that.
Awesome. I want to invite everyone listening to, and maybe we can do this. A two-week challenge.
Two,
is it 2 to 5 minutes a day?
2 to 5 minutes most days of the week.
We should probably just do that on social media and be like, follow us on Instagram and TikTok. We're Shameless Sex Podcast.
We can give prizes away.
Yes, we can.
Oh my God.
And that would encourage you all to explore your pelvic floor. Oh, I will as
one,
well.
One other question real quick. So if I had a cock, what could you just give me like a short version of how I could do this? So
you'd have to reach around for butthole and ideally you'd pick like the longest finger that you have. So usually the middle finger, and you would want to be able to hook toward your tailbone. So toward the backside.
Okay.
And you want to get you're trying to get past the two sphincters. So you'll feel that at first, well, like what I like to do for insertion is to take a breath in and then like push, as in like almost like you're pooping. It opens up the sphincter so that you can allow for penetration. Then you're going to insert your longest finger in. Mm-hmm. And you're trying to get beyond those two sphincters, you'll feel almost this like shelf. And the difference between hanging out in between the two sphincters is that you'll feel like you really, really, really have to poop. Mm-hmm. Once you're beyond the two sphincters, then there's less sensation there. It feels more like pressure mm-hmm. than poop. And that is pelvic floor in there. So you do that half circle going toward your tailbone. You might even be able to feel your tailbone, but oftentimes you need really long fingers in order to do that.
One other last question. So as someone who's a pussy owner, would it be beneficial for me to do that with my ass too?
Yeah, because you actually can access like a lot of muscles that are really close to your tailbone without the rectum in the way. Mm-hmm. If we go vaginally, we have to push through the rectum to get to those muscles versus if we're in the rectum, we don't have as much in between. We can go to the other side. Okay. So there's definitely a benefit. So I do a lot of anal work usually with people who I can't really access it vaginally, or who people who have symptoms very specific to their tailbone, like maybe their tailbone got broken or they had a fall or something like that, where I really want to be able to latch onto the tailbone.
Oh, well, awesome.
You can always press rewind and listen to all of Jenny Putt's info about your
all
pelvic floor health. Yes.
Yes.
It's not even about pelvic floor. It's about pleasure, y'all. So go and get in there. Amy just experienced some. You were on a 12 at one point.
Yeah, it's fun being on air, putting my finger in my pussy. It was nice and wet in there.
It was nice and wet in there. Well, thank you, Jenny Putt.
Happy to be here. Thanks for having me again.
And thank
I'm
you
like
to
hanging
all
out holding my thumb
thank
out.
You, thank you,
thumbs
Amy,
up,
for being the guinea pig in here. You did such a great job. To all of our listeners, thank you for tuning in. And stay tuned, because we have another sizzler, a trailer, a teasler, and it's called the Erotic Short Stories Podcast. They're part of our podcast network. Pleasure Podcast, y'all, is awesome. We are so grateful to have them as our podcast daddy or mommy, whatever you want to call them. They're
family.
They're a family. Yeah. We love them, and we want to honor each of you with having little information about what they do. So stay tuned right now, because it's just a short teaser, pleaser. Here we go.
If you enjoy losing yourself in stories of passion, lust, and erotica, then you'll love Erotic Short Stories. Tune in every Friday to hear me, Mia Hart, read you tales of lust, fantasy, and desire. My stories are pure escapism and a chance for you to indulge in some sensual erotica whenever you feel in the mood. Join me on Erotic Short Stories, available on all podcast platforms for your weekly fix.
Want to learn more? Go to shamelesssex.com. And for 15% off of some of our favorite sex toys, use coupon code SHAMELESSSEX at purepleasureshop.com.